often parents are in such stressed and such high anxiety situations that they can't see the wood from the trees. And there's benevolent aunts out there, there's key worker relationships, there's youth workers, there's all different kinds of people who have massive teachers, coaches, who have massive amounts of influence on children. And if they had these skills, these core skills, they'd be much more confident, and they would also produce children who are much more confident about who they are and where they were at.
You're very welcome along to today's edition of Family.ie. What we just heard there might sound like a course in how to raise confident kids. Well, yes, but it's much more than that. It's our training course designed to help every member of the community thrive. I'm Ronan Johnston. This is episode 2 of our 5-part series based on our comprehensive prevention course called How to Drug-Proof Your Kids. Last time we established how the course was originally developed in Australia. In addition to being successfully run throughout Ireland, it has gained traction around the world. Stephen talked with Dale Stagg, a former police detective, currently CEO of HCJB Global Australia.
I mean, we understood when we first got sight of it, it was through Care for the Family in the UK, and it had a significant use as a drug prevention program with the police forces in a number of places in the UK. And that's how we heard about it.
Yeah, that was a thrill to us to hear that, being an ex-copper myself. It's always great to hear of our various officers around the world working with the local police force to establish this program, because, of course, in my career, a very large percentage of the arrests that I made, the crime I had to attend, was directly related to alcohol and other drug use. No doubt about it.
The statistics are shocking here in Ireland as well. But what can really be done to prevent it from happening to your kids? Fortunately, quite a bit. Stephen Carty, Heather Walsh and Ger Shanahan are glad to have professional childcare worker and course facilitator Paul Mangan join us once again for this series of discussions on how to drug-proof your kids.
Stephen, would you summarise what we covered in the last programme?
Yes, well, obviously, as an introduction, we gave an overview of what the Drug Proof Your Kids programme is about and gave some of the background from the experts who designed this programme in Australia. And we looked at three specific areas. One is what they've learned from parenting and how that is done in a discreet environment and where they can share those ideas. And it's very powerful for learning from each other within the group. And secondly is the level of drug use in the community, and therefore what's the likelihood that our parents who are on the programme are encountering that, or at least their children are encountering that in their normal world. And the third point that we looked at was the message in, message out idea, that, you know, parents are leading by example in relation to their children, and what example are they giving to their kids. And so parents will be coming back in order to evaluate for themselves, well, how well do I actually know my kids, and therefore how strong a protective barrier am I, and is my relationship with them in terms of their exposure and perhaps involvement in the use, harmful use of drugs and alcohol.
And Heather, what's in store for us today?
Well, today we want to talk about building a strong foundation on which our children can build their lives. We'll talk about unconditional love and emotional integrity, and we'll ask the question, who's responsible for your happiness? We'll suggest three keys to unlock your happiness. And of course, we have our take-home activity.
You mentioned there unconditional love. What do you mean, unconditional love?
Well, unconditional love could be described as no strings attached love. It's love that continues regardless of misunderstanding or disappointment. It's not got anything to do with your feelings, and it's not based on any gratification. So no matter what your child is doing, is saying, no matter how they're behaving, they need to know that a parent's love is unconditional, that it's always there.
Is there any aspect of love which is conditional then? I mean, how do we handle poor behaviour?
Well, I think what you want to do is to correct the behaviour, but not in an emotional flurry or in an emotional temper or whatever it may be. And so one of the things that we look at first in this session is the impact of emotions, and what does that do? Because if we don't recognise our emotions and the way they engage us and engage us in our relationship with our child, we may not realise the impact that we're having on our child.
Could I paint a picture here?
Go ahead, Paul.
What we have here is an iceberg, yeah? And an iceberg has 1/8 above the surface and 7/8 below the surface. So if you can imagine a human being with their behaviour and their feelings, yeah, but their feelings are 7/8 underneath the water, and their behaviour is 1/8 above the water. So when you're dealing with people and you're interfacing with people, especially in family contexts, like Stephen has just mentioned there, that the two become one. The feelings and the behaviours all get mixed up together, and one can't be identified or discerned from the other. And as parents, in terms of trying to offer structure, support, direction, all those things to young people, what we're trying to do is separate the two, segregate the two. So it's like the sinner and the sin. It's the behaviour as opposed to the person. But you're learning to actually identify that and identify it in the family setting with the child, so they don't get demonised and they don't get victimised and they don't feel themselves okay. They can own their behaviour and be responsible for their behaviour having been poor or being bad, but that doesn't necessarily make them bad.
So in our relationships then with our children as parents, we have to learn to relate to them in a way that in no way diminishes their feeling of being loved, but we directly address the behavior problem. And there is something we have to learn about how to do that.
Well, there's a saying that says the madder we are, the stupider we are. So our cognitions are very low when our anger and when our tempers are hot and flared. So it's very hard to actually do something constructive when you're in the middle of a blazing row or in the middle of an emotional outburst. So we're just trying to get people to recognise what's going on within themselves before they bring that to the table with their young person. Because if you're feeling very hot or feeling very annoyed or irritated or frustrated, immediately that's going to be communicated. And as we work through the roadmap, as we work through the wheel of change, we're going to discover the skills and the deficits that we need to be able to address all of those issues. So we're communicating the right message, a positive message, that we're not part of the problem, we're going to be part of the solution.
And that's just it, isn't it? I suppose it's easy to point the finger at the schools or the Gardaí or community programmes, but we need to honestly ask ourselves, when it comes to drug-proofing the kids in our care, what can we do differently? This is family.ie. We're just getting started in our second episode dedicated to our How to Drug-Proof Your Kids training course. We need to take just a quick time out right now, and we'll continue in just a moment. Stephen has some hypothetical scenarios for us to consider, and we'll hear an expert opinion on the differences between risk and protective factors. So stay tuned for that and more on today's programme. In the meantime, you'll find more information about our full How to Drug-Proof Your Kids course at family.ie. Find out how to facilitate a course in your area there as well. Again, that's www.family.ie. Welcome once again to today's edition of Family.ie. This is episode 2 in our 5-part series, How to Drug-Proof Your Kids. Our hope is that throughout this series, you'll not only gain some insight on how to better communicate with your kids, but also get a sneak peek into our in-depth training course. Back to the discussion now with Stephen, Heather, Ger and Paul.
I take then that at the outset, this has to be a journey for the parents. What is that journey like?
What we do ask the parents to do as an exercise during this session is to ask them how do they feel, and it gives 4 scenarios, and I'll read them because they probably illustrate the sort of normal 7/8 below the surface that Paul has described that you don't normally see. So say the first situation is your child spends hours chatting on the computer but only ever grunts responses to your attempt at conversation. So if you're a parent, how do you feel? You know, you feel frustrated by that. And secondly, your child was found smoking cigarettes at school. How do you feel about that? Or third, your child has obviously been drinking when you pick them up after a friend's party. Or fourthly, your child's school grades suddenly plummet and you're discovering they've been ditching school. Any of those might be indicators of that there is a situation that you need to address. But if you respond, as Paul said, out of your emotions that are fraught, then you're going to have a very different outcome than if you respond out of a situation where you've, you know, considered the situation carefully and thought of what's an appropriate response.
Stephen, I'm sure all parents will relate to the scenario that you have spoken about. And I think one of the important things is that parents don't respond in anger, but take some time now to begin to develop some strategies for what you're going to do when that scenario happens. It happens in lots of families. Those are very common things. And rather than, you know, responding, get your preparation done. And this course will help people to build those, not defences so much as strategies, to cope when those difficult times come.
So in essence, what we're talking about here is building character, developing emotional integrity. And that's the key, and the core skills that are attached to that. How do we learn them?
Well, let's hear what Professor John Turnbull has to say about the impact of risk and protective factors in our relationships with our kids.
In framing the program, and we've really thought a lot about the idea of risk and protective factors. And I want to just explain briefly how they work. A lot of people are familiar with the way in which we've succeeded as a community to bring down rates of heart disease. And obviously, most people are familiar with the risk factors for heart disease, and we know that we've got to watch our cholesterol and avoid smoking because they're risk factors. And then we know of protective factors as well, because we know that if we exercise, that that's protective against the chances. Now, that same model of thinking that really relies on trying to reduce the probability of bad outcomes has been fundamental to the way we've revamped the program. So the program here has a target of reducing alcohol and drug use by children, and so we've looked very carefully at the family risk factors and the family protective factors, and they now underpin the program.
Risk and protective factors. What does that mean?
Essentially, when we're talking about risk and protective factors, the core or the kernel of it is potential. Not just building character, but potential and trust and being able to let go at certain times. So if you have good protective factors, you'll minimise the risk and you'll also build the character within the person for them to be able to make their own judgment about what to do and when to do it and how to do it.
You could say that risk factors are the factors that make a child vulnerable or susceptible to unhealthy behaviours, the things going on in their personal life or in their environment. And the protective factors would be the resources that provide them with strong social skills and supportive relationships that will decrease or cut down the negative behaviours. And if you look at it like that, what's going on in their surroundings and in their environment that either is going to put them at risk or build some protection into their lives?
To cut to the chase here, addiction and the process of addiction and the way it happens in the steps, how incremental it becomes, what you have is a victim spirit, somebody who feels that they're a victim. And how does that happen? How does that process happen that they become a victim? And the reason why it happens is because their protective factors aren't high enough and the risk factors are too high. So if we can reduce one and increase the other, you have a good chance of the young person not feeling to be a victim. When you're a victim, you're in pain, you're hurting. And when you're in pain, you want some medication. And that's the way the process happens. Mm-hmm. So if you can prevent that, if you can minimize it, if you can reduce it, it's not to say that the young people aren't going to experiment. That's perfectly normal and perfectly natural that they will do that. But it's that progression, that the progression doesn't go so far where it becomes unstoppable.
It's like a balance, and we want to tip the balance in favour of the children making wise choices in their teen years.
So we can't protect them from the realities of the world around them, but we make them able to deal with these realities.
That's right. We can't remove all the risk factors. And we started out at the very beginning saying that drug-proof your kids is not a guarantee, but we can certainly tip the balance in favour of protection for our children. Understanding our own emotions and the emotions of others has actually been shown to be a strong predictor of success and resilience in life. So parents who model ownership and a healthy expression of their feelings can actually help to steer their children away from harmful things. And we talked earlier about helping them to make wise choices. So learning to understand and manage our emotions can help children resist the peer pressure that we've talked about and the temptations and give them the confidence to make wise choices. So it's about being aware of your emotions and being able to manage them.
So basically it's about taking responsibility for our own selves.
That's right. And there's another aspect that I think we'll come on to is about differentiating your feelings from your children's. Parents are sometimes so enmeshed with their children that, you know, when their children are sad, they're sad. When their children are happy, they're happy. And actually we need to be individuated a little bit from that and have independent feelings and recognise that. So who's responsible for your happiness?
Well, ultimately, we're responsible for our environment as parents. I mean, if children are children and they're under 18 years of age, they're in your care. So you're responsible for the environment that you manage for your children. So ultimately it's not your responsibility regarding how they feel, but how you facilitate what's going on in their lives is of immense responsibility, and in terms of owning that.
Someone has said that parents often say, "I just want my kids to be happy," but unfortunately they fail to add, "but I also want them to behave." This is family.ie. We're in the midst of episode 2 in our How to Drug Proof Your Kids series. While obviously we concentrate a lot on taking care of our kids, we can't neglect our own well-being as parents and caregivers. Stay tuned after this quick break for more about that. If you'd like to weigh in on the discussions, don't forget that our text comment line is 086-251-6886. And if you have any questions or comments at any time for which you need a reply, feel free to email us radio@family.ie. Again, that's 086-251-6886 or radio@family.ie. And stay with us for more about how to drug-proof your kids on today's edition of family.ie.
No matter where parents are, you know, on the scale of parenting, you know, whether they're really struggling as a parent or whether they're quite successful as a parent, they can learn something from this course. They can take away something from this course. And it might just be one thing, but it's the one thing that is an extra sort of thing in their armory in terms of, you know, being a better parent. And then if they can add that to something else and add that to something else over time, they will become a better parent.
That's Mervyn Nuttley. Welcome once again to today's program. And again, the course he's referring to is, of course, our own How to Drug-Proof Your Kids. Welcome once again to today's edition of family.ie. Like Mervyn said, there's something here for every one of us in the community. Research has proven over and over again that healthy parents and caregivers tend to provide a healthy environment for the kids around them. And we also need to remember that kids are not the centre of the universe. On to the final segment of today's conversation now with Stephen, Heather, Jer and Paul.
There are three steps to help parents, what we call unlock happiness, or to feel good about themselves or feel reassured or secure in themselves. And those three steps are vital.
What you're looking at here, not to go too technical about it, but it's called reflective practice, right? Reflective practice, meaning that you reflect on what's going on around you, what's going on inside you and what's going on around you. And it's that process of reflection. So you have a behaviour, and you ask yourself the question, what need is that expressing in your young person, in your child? And what is your response? So behaviour, need, response. Behaviour, need, response. And that's what this really is all about.
And in order for parents to be able to reflect carefully on what's going on with their children, I would suggest they need to really grasp their own self-management. The three steps Stephen mentioned, master your mind, refuel and manage your time. Master your mind, get to grips with yourself and where you're at and your thinking. Refuel, make sure you've got some time to relax and be in a good position, in a good place when your kids are coming in with their challenges. And manage your time. Create some space for your children. Give them a slot. Make sure they have some space.
You know, this is not technical at all. This is very practical. Table stuff, dinner time management, knowing where your kids are, what time they're expected to be home at, all those kind of things. Very, very practical, very, very sound and practically based aims and objectives. It's not a technical thing at all.
So parents will really come out of this with something really tangible at the end of the session.
Yes, and grandparents may come out of it also, or aunties, uncles, different people. They may not have a parental relationship with, but they do have influence, a massive amount of influence on the children in and around them.
So sharing what you've learned with the wider family will be also of benefit.
Enormously, because often parents are in such stressed and such high anxiety situations that they can't see the wood from the trees. And it often takes, you know, they talk about several people to raise children. And there's benevolent aunts out there. There's key worker relationships. There's youth workers. There's all different kinds of people who have massive teachers, coaches who have massive amounts of influence on children. And if they had these skills, these core skills, they'd be much more confident, and they would also produce children who are much more confident about who they are and where they were at.
So the programme really does engage with real issues that parents would have, and equips them to put themselves in a position to seriously address the issues in the lives of their children?
Primarily through looking at the issues in their own lives as well. You know, that's it. Because, I mean, if they're not managing themselves, they're not going to be able to manage their children either.
Yes.
Another important thing to say here is there's a confidentiality contract.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Within the group setting. So it's quite relaxed and it's also quite secure. And people know what to say and how to say it. And there's no pressure on people to divulge what's going on within themselves. And that process is managed very professionally from a trainer's point of view within the group context.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, Paul, you and I both know from running these courses that the strength of relationships and the learning, you know, that's really valuable for people around the room is very, very powerful as part of this program.
Well, the first thing I usually do when I'm delivering a program is I sum total the amount of parental experience that's in the room, multiply it by the amount of children that those parents are parenting, and it can add up into hundreds of years. So my years significantly disappear into oblivion when I compare my experience with the group context of the parenting that's in the room. And there's hundreds of years of experience in parenting when you have a group of four or five people.
What kind of take-home activities follow session two?
We ask parents to look at three things: the parent-to-parent relationship, you know, what's going on between the parents themselves, assuming that maybe a father and a mother are both involved, if that's the case, as would be in the majority of cases, what's that relationship like? What's the work balance situation like, and does that need to be attended to? And how do they engage in family fun in ways that are meaningful? So people going away from this particular session will say to themselves, I've really practical issues to look at here. You know, my relationship with my husband or wife, my work-life balance, and how are we engaging in fun together so that out of that can come a strong and meaningful relationship with my child.
I gather that this is very provocative. This can lead a person into a lot of, let's say, looking into oneself. I gather that in this session there's a lot of support and there's a lot of care for the parents as they begin on this journey. And I also gather that following from this, there has to be support in the program to help parents lay hold of the tools or the practices that they need to come out of, let's say, deficits of behavior onto more productive behavior. It sounds brilliant.
There's two things to that. One is that the program is not a quick fix. So there is a responsibility on the parents to do things now that they're aware that there is issues that need to be dealt with. Yeah. So the program is not a quick fix. So you're looking at 6 months, 9 months, a year and a half to gain control, to get things on the track that they need or should be on. Yeah. The other thing as well, that and this is a kind of almost a motto for the program, is that doing nothing is not an option.
You've been listening to Family.ie, and that was episode 2 in our 5-part radio series. Find out more about our comprehensive How to Drug-Proof Your Kids training course and information on how you or your community can facilitate a group in your area. We'd be honoured to help in any way we can. Also, for copies of this audio series and many others, free to listen to or download for later, we hope you'll head over to Family.ie. There you'll find more resources to help you in your family and relationships, including audio from a growing range of subjects we've covered, including an exclusive interview with Dr. Gary Chapman, author of The 5 Love Languages, Focus on Finances, Responsible Kids, From How to Wow, and many others. Again, that's family.ie. I'm Ronan Johnston, and with thanks to our contributors today, Paul Mangan, Mervyn Nutley, Dale Stagg, John Toomeru, and on behalf of our own Stephen Carty, Heather Walsh and Ger Shanahan, we thank you for listening and invite you back next time for more. Until then, slán go fóill. Thank you for listening to Family.ie. Families strengthening families.